This is Eerily Ever After, Couple Problems and Demon Problems, exploring the relationship between romance and horror. I'm Emily.
And I'm Evan.
And we watch scary movies all the time now.
Well, you know, that was, we talked about that either last episode or the episode before. It wasn't the episode we talked about compromise, but it was the episode that we added that this podcast was a compromise.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to do a podcast and you wanted to watch more horror movies.
Yep.
So we figured it out.
We did. It's worked out great for me.
I mean, it's worked out great for me too. I love doing this with you. Yeah. I know I get somewhat nervous about the actual recording aspect. And I think sometimes you take that as me not enjoying it. That's not necessarily the case.
Fair enough. Anyway.
So this week we did something we've done before, but also our meal was more the date itself. And then we watched one of my favorite movies, which is a first on Eerily Ever After.
Yeah, usually we watch my favorite movie.
I've been looking forward to watching this specific movie, and I've talked about it on this podcast several times. Like, I am hyped to make this episode right now.
But before we jump into the movie, let's talk about the date.
Okay, so we did play Horrified again.
Yeah.
We talked about that last episode. We really love this game, though, and it fits our podcast so well.
And there's a big difference between this time and the last time we played.
What was that difference?
We won!
We won!
We won! We defeated the monsters this time.
But. We did do the alternate rule where we got to pick our characters. A specific game mechanic in this game is that you draw your character at random. And each character has a special ability, but there's two characters in it specifically, one of which has a very powerful special ability and the other which has no special ability, but gets an extra move. And we have felt for a long time that those were the two best. So, and there is an alternate rule in the rule book that says you can choose them as long as you do it for strategy. And that's what we did. But I would like to win with a random drawing at some point.
I would too. But I think for that to happen, we really need to practice our strategies more. Today, I think, was pretty significant though, because I've really been pushing for one strategy. You've really been pushing for another. And we combined our strategies today. And
yes,
we slaughtered.
We did.
We killed. We did. First, we took out Drac. Then we took out, who came out next? Wolfman.
Yep.
And then we got Wolfman. And
which that was the part that was my strategy, because you wanted to go for the monster. There's always a monster that's in frenzy mode, which means they're more likely to attack throughout the game. Mm-hmm. And you wanted to always go for the frenzied monster. And I agreed with you, but I said, as long as there's not a glaring opportunity for me to hurt another monster. And I did that several times. And that got us in a position to take out Wolfman right after we took out Drac.
Yeah.
Right. Which in the past, we hadn't been in that situation. We would take out the frenzied monster, or we would just be doing whatever, taking whatever opportunity we had and not gotten as far.
Yeah.
But
then we took out Frankie and the Bride, and then finally was the creature from the Black Lagoon.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we won.
It was nice being on the board with just one monster, like feeling like, all right, we're gonna get this. Like,
we have choices now.
Absolutely.
And the meal was real good.
It was part of our date kind of too.
Yeah.
Because we made personal pizzas. So we got together in the kitchen and made pizzas together, and we had three crusts. So we had to agree on one of them.
Yeah, which I'm glad we did.
It wasn't too hard.
I was worried that there were going to be a lot of green olives on it.
I mean, you were worried like I would have ignored what you wanted for the pizza.
I mean, I was worried that you would behave the way that I behave. I know my weaknesses.
I mean, fair enough. No, but I wouldn't insist that anything. That was why we each got our own. I put the green olives on mine. And if we had had pineapple, you would have put pineapple on yours, but not on the shared one.
Right, exactly.
We didn't have pineapple.
Yeah. I was sad about that for my personal pizza, but it's fine.
It was actually excellent because nobody was sacrilegious in the house.
Every pizza, I guess.
I mean, you shouldn't have pineapple on any pizza. You should put pineapple in the sauce so that you get that salty sweet without having giant wet chunks of fruit on your pizza.
My eyes are practically living on our ceiling right now.
It's like I do legitimately feel the way about putting tomatoes on your pizza. It's like they should be in the sauce. You don't put tomatoes on a pizza. It goes in the sauce.
I love roasted tomatoes.
Roasted tomatoes are a different story because that gets a lot of the liquid out. I'm talking like people just like chop up like Roma tomatoes and add them to their pizza. Like that's fucking okay.
Okay, well, hopefully those people are also sterile. But you also made Instant Pot Brussels sprouts.
I did.
And
because we weren't just gonna have pizza.
Yeah, we have to have vegetables too.
Yeah.
Those were amazing.
Yeah, I found a new recipe recently. We've been really enjoying it. I feel like my old recipe was like, it was good when I got it right.
Mm-hmm.
But this one is good every time.
Yeah.
And that has not.
And yeah. I love the balsamic reduction. I love it.
Yeah, I'm sorry. We're not going to find that again. I found this it was a balsamic reduction at a Fresh Thyme on their clearance shelf. So they're not going to get it again. And like nobody else is going to get it. And like it sat on our shelf for like a year before Emily realized we had it.
Yeah. And now I'm obsessed with it. And it's going to be over. And I'm never going to look at Brussels sprouts the same again. And I'm never going to eat another green thing for the rest of my life.
It's almost like you just shouldn't doctor things that people make for you. You should just eat them as they are. That way they always taste good.
What?
I said,
but moving on to the movie. So before we actually talk about the movie, I want to talk about how I actually didn't really have plans for us to watch this for quite some time.
Oh, no?
No, but I moved it up because you've been such a good sport about watching whatever I throw at you, including Hangman's Curse. Like, you sat through that.
Man, to be honest, the only thing I really don't want to watch, like the thing I'm like not looking forward to, the thing I'm just gonna rag on the entire, like I know I was like what was it? I can't even think of it now. The one with not John Candy.
What?
I made like 1,000 jokes about it. I mentioned how he looked like John Candy.
But what? I remember you making the jokes, but I don't know what movie you're talking about.
It was the one where they like took out a bunch of the scenes because it was supposed to be worse.
Oh, yeah. My Bloody Valentine.
Yeah. Like, I know I ragged on that one a lot, but like the one I'm really going to come for hard is Saw or anything Saw adjacent.
You told me we weren't allowed to watch Saw.
But I imagine, I mean, you're going to make me eventually or some other gore porn, like ridiculous.
You got through Hostel great.
Hostel was not gore porn. There was like 2 scenes that were gory. Saw is like gore from start to finish from what I've heard. I mean, not the first one, but like the third or fourth one is just like, it's like once the game starts, it's just gory shit. The entire thing.
I prefer the second one.
Whatever. My point is.
At least know what I like if you're going to shit on it.
No, I've been told by anybody I've had this conversation with, like any like diehard Saw fan, they'll just say, okay, well, at least watch the first one because that one isn't what you're saying. It's more of a psychological horror.
Yes.
But so it's like, the only thing that I'm really resistant to watch is like Saw 2 or beyond, but or anything like that. But like, I will for the sake of this podcast.
So can we watch it?
No.
Damn.
That one's like directly relinked to my mental illness.
Okay.
Like hard links to my mental illness.
Okay, I had to ask
my dad. Ask my dad.
I believe you. I don't need to ask your dad. Kyle, is he telling me the truth?
My dad will
tell me if he's lying.
My dad will tell you about the time where I'd already been afraid of it without seeing the movie, just being told the story.
Yeah.
And as a kid with like high.
Well,
like,
I'm not going to make you watch it.
Well, let me finish. We went to Blockbuster. Blockbuster. And like, I literally saw the cover. And it was like weeks.
It's a good cover.
It was like weeks of like not being able to sleep and having my anxiety go out like crazy. You know what I mean? To be honest, the only reason I kind of want to watch it is because I know Bill Hader's in the second one.
Mm. We could just watch the second one.
I'll do that.
Okay.
I'd watch the second one with you.
All right. Well, then you got to give me an afternoon alone to watch the first one. And okay. When I'm going to make such an afternoon out of it, I'm going to have popcorn and M&Ms. I'm going to have a Coke, full sugar.
These are all your guilty pleasures. Huh? Yes.
I'm going to have chocolate covered pretzels.
I mean, that's a lot.
It is a lot. I'm a hedonist, man.
And like the only savory thing you're going to have is popcorn. You're not going to have
a side of beef jerky.
Anyways.
So the movie that we watched for tonight was...
Because we haven't said the name yet.
Well, that was on purpose.
I know.
That was on purpose. We watched The Cabin in the Woods.
Oh, my God. I love this movie so much.
Meta movie.
I mean, I've been a Joss Whedon fan since I was a kid. Obviously, less now, which is sad, considering the fact that I was also a fan of J.K. Rowling and many other people.
It's hard to watch them all go down.
I mean, I made a post. It was like a month ago. It was a Facebook where it was just like my favorite director was Joss Whedon. My favorite writer was J.K. Rowling.
Your favorite actor was Johnny Depp.
No, yeah, but that was the one. That was like the one exception because yeah. He's like, maybe he did it, maybe he didn't. You know what I mean? But like the other three, there was a third one that was definitely awful. And I just can't place it.
Marilyn Manson was Marilyn your Manson. Favorite musician.
Oh, because Evan Rachel Wood. God damn it.
It's hard, man.
I just feel like maybe I had bad taste. Maybe I couldn't.
You are not responsible.
I'm not responsible, but like maybe I should, that's a pattern though, isn't it?
No.
No?
No.
Okay.
I mean, so here's the thing. All of these people are horrible people, but they created art that spoke to thousands of people.
But the fact that those were my top ones in every category.
That doesn't matter.
No?
That doesn't matter. That just means that they know how to dupe people.
Well, I appreciate that.
And people who do the toxic things that these people have done and said the toxic things these people have said are really good at fooling people. But whatever you got out of those things, you should take that with you and not who these people are.
Well, I mean, you know I'm down for that. I mean, I can tell you exactly where I was when Lyra, the editor of this podcast and my co-host for Antiquity of Comics, for those who don't know.
Hi.
Who's a trans woman, told me it was okay to still like Harry Potter because I was like, I didn't know what to do and I was freaking out and like, we were literally painting the room
next
door.
Not every trans person is going to feel that way.
I know that. I know. But the majority of them, from what I've seen, have said that like it's there is a separation between actor and creator and art. You know, but I mean, I understand not everyone is going to feel that way. But I mean, Lyra's opinion is the one who would affect me the most. You know what I mean? Like if I were to continue liking Harry Potter and that was something that was like a deal breaker for her, mm-hmm. that would be a big deal. You know what I mean? For like me personally. You know,
right.
So like it was somewhat relieving in that sense, you know, and then to see other trans people also say the same things on like the Facebook groups I'm a part of or like, you know, things like that.
Sure.
That was comforting.
Sure. I can see that.
Anyways, this movie.
Enough lip service to Joss Whedon. Right. Bye.
But I mean, so this movie has a lot of people in it that I enjoy. It has Amy Acker, who played Fred in Angel. And she also played Whiskey, and I can't remember her doctor name in Dollhouse. It also has Fran Kranz, that's the guy who played Topher in Dollhouse. Okay, and he also
pretty sure that's right.
Okay, and he also played Marty in this.
Yes.
And your actor from West Wing, what's his name?
Bradley Whitford.
Yeah. So lots of people, and then his partner is also a big deal. He was up for Best Actor one year. Out of the five, he was like the one who was never going to win, but like nomination's still a nomination, you know? Mm-hmm. I can't remember what it was for even. I just remember seeing him in my EW. There was like a picture of all five people. And like, it was like the bigger the picture, the more likely they were to win. And his was like real tiny.
Oh, okay.
That's how I remembered all that. It was a very visual memory.
Sad.
So yeah, I mean, we had a lot of people in it that we liked. Oh, and the guy that I kept hinting about, asking if you knew who he was.
Yeah, who was he?
It was Jonathan from Buffy.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
But he was older, and he had a what's a pompadour, so you couldn't tell.
Yeah, I really couldn't.
But this movie I love because for one thing, I found it easier to watch horror movies after this movie. I would watch it through this light. The Harbinger is something specifically that I look for.
And we're going to watch a movie that has a very, like, obvious...
Good, because...
Yeah, because you've been looking for them.
The first one that I saw was Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
And that kind of, like what... I didn't realize how much Cabin in the Woods was based off of Friday the 13th until I saw Friday the 13th. I realized it was like 50% Friday the 13th and then like 2-3% of like a bunch of other movies. And I didn't know that until I saw Friday the 13th. And that was the first one that had like a clear harbinger.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, that's always been something that I look for after watching that movie. And I mean, I'll sometimes try to, you know, label the people, like who's the athlete, who's the virgin, who's the, I can't remember the other ones, the fool.
The scholar.
The scholar.
And the virgin. Oh, you said that, the whore.
The whore.
Yeah. She dies first.
Yeah. No, I mean,
the fuck are you going to do if we're ever in a horror movie situation? You're 100% losing your partner before anybody else.
I mean,
self burn.
Every time I watch this movie, I get a little more out of it. The number one criticism I hear of this movie is that the other rituals don't make sense. Like you see the clip of the Asian children, mm-hmm. and the spirit Japanese ghost, right? Girls. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And there was one other, like they mention a lot of other ones. They mention how there's other, and I always walked away from the movie thinking that everybody else was doing it in parts and mm-hmm. that different countries could add up to what America was doing. I got the impression that America was the only one that did it all the way through. But then I caught Sojourner Weaver's line at the end that said, it's different for every culture. Because she says the ritual is different in every culture. Pause. There must be five. I thought that meant there must be five in all the other cultures, but there's other differences. What I realized is what she meant was every ritual is different in ours. There must be five. Mm-hmm. And so that was like what I got out of it. This is probably the fifth time I've seen this movie. So like it was interesting. That was a cool like find for me, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting because I had a different interpretation.
What was your interpretation?
Well, so I went into it thinking, you know, what you thought, that other countries were trying to kind of work together, do different parts of it.
Right.
So that they had to sacrifice fewer people per country.
Oh, and, I didn't even think about that as a strategy.
Yeah.
Nice.
And then I coupled that thought with the image of the Japanese schoolgirls totally wrecking their horror movie. Like they come out of it scot-free, like these school children defeat their foe.
Right.
I took that to mean that it's only the Americans that are dumb enough to die in their storylines. of course America's fulfilling this because we're the only ones who are just stupid enough to fall into it. Yeah, man, we're going up to this random ass cabin. Totally fine.
you forget they're controlling them all with drugs.
Yes, I understand that. Well, they're trying to control them all with drugs. They lose control of them because of drugs.
Yeah. I wish they would have explained that a little more. Like, I wish they... Like, it could have been like one line. It could have just been like one line where they're just like, cannabis is the only thing. You know what I mean? And like it would have just made the whole... movie work without any more explanation, you know? Yeah. And then, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I suppose. I appreciate that Marty understood, though.
Also, what kind of teenage stoner has more than one stash? You find that one good place that your parents aren't going to find it, and you put all your shit there, and it doesn't go anywhere else, you know?
He's like actually supposed to be like early 20s. He's in college.
I say that, and I realize that right after my parents found everything I had when I was in high school, I hid it like all over the house in different places because that was a better strategy than hiding it all in one place. So
nice.
I can show you some of my hiding places next time we're at my parents' house.
Excellent. What a tour. One thing that I really like about this movie is how often it's not even necessarily foreshadowing but there is really good foreshadowing in the movie. How often the beginning gets recalled at the end. I just love that stuff. That's like movie magic to me. Like,
give me examples.
Well, the most obvious one is all of the pieces that they like touch in the cellar
Oh,
we see all of those. Like, I really love stuff like that.
That's like this whole movie. That's like the whole point of the movie.
I know. Yeah. But like,
that's why I love the movie, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also when Chris Hemsworth character Kurt says that he's going to make them pay for Jules and not for Marty. And then we find out that Marty is still alive.
So we've watched this movie together before.
We have.
But you had told me, I asked you, who do you think dies first? Because I thought you guessed.
And I said, and I.
I thought you guessed Julie. And then when you said Marty, I was like, oh, Jules. She doesn't remember the end. Jules. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, she doesn't remember the end. And then because I was thinking about that, when he said for Jules, I was like, oh, shit, for him. Like, I thought the exact same thing you're saying. Like, oh, that's great.
I don't know why I thought Marty was the first to die, because in hindsight, fucking duh.
I forgot
how meta this movie is.
Right.
Like, I really forgot how hard it went.
I'm realizing that I really like meta stuff. Like, there was some, I mean, besides the overuse of the R word, Tropic Thunder is one of my favorite movies. And that's the same deal. It's just like a hyper meta movie. Like,
yeah. I really loved how they made me wait for the gore. Like, I didn't.
And then
get
it goes nuts.
And then it goes absolutely ham. Like, at first, like Jules's death, I was like, okay. Marty's stabbing scene. Okay. We're getting closer. And then the end is just a bloodbath.
And like a bloodbath, like beyond what you would even expect in like anything, really.
That's just like, so beautiful. And then they all.
Like, everybody dies.
And that's what I want from a horror movie. I hate horror movies with nice, somebody lives, they defeat the. I want everyone dead.
I'm worried I already talked about this, but I wrote a horror script in high school and everybody died and my teacher told me that wasn't okay.
Okay, well, your teacher's wrong.
But my teacher was really good. Like, she was like,
she's
she
still
was
still wrong. You can be really good and still be wrong. Everyone except for me can be wrong.
I mean, she definitely, that was like the only time she was wrong. I understand, but I'm just like telling you that I wrote a horror script. I turned it in and she was like, you have to give the viewers hope. And I was like, why?
No. No. So I know that you didn't like Paranormal Activity, but the reason that it worked was because.
No, I loved Paranormal Activity. We just disagreed on who should have won or who was right. Because Micah was right.
No, yes. Katie was right.
No, Micah was right.
No, Katie
because
was.
The fact that it was real was ridiculous.
You're ridiculous. Katie was right. But the reason it works so well is because it leaves you with the fact that this demon is still around. I love that shit. I fucking loved that the world ended.
Yeah.
I love that.
The only thing I don't love about the world ending is I really don't see many humans taking a either you die with them or you die for them choice. Anything other than dying for them, just because like that's like six of one, half dozen of another. Like, you know, who cares if you're gonna die either way? Like,
I mean, I'm not gonna lie, I'd rather go out the way Marty ultimately went out, not getting shot, sacrificing myself for the world, smoking a fucking joint with someone who's cool to hang out with, preferably you.
And as I just said, I totally would have turned the gun on you for at least a second.
Yep. You heard it here, folks. So you had a thought about this movie and how it pertains to our relationship.
I mean, really, I just think there's a big theme of sacrifice in this movie. Yeah. And I just think that that's important to talk about within the like what a relationship is and what's important to do within a relationship. And we've talked about similar things, you know, like compromise and service both definitely fall into this category, but neither one of those things talk about the thing that you're giving up, you know, like with compromise, it's about both people being some happy and some not happy. And it's not really about the specific unhappiness. It's about the happiness you both gain. With service, it's very much about the happiness your partner brings. Sacrifice is about what you've given up, you know, and that's just as important from my perspective. I think what pertains to us specifically is how we see a day going, You know, at least for me, I don't know. This might not, this might be more true about me than it is about you. You tell me what you think, but there will be times where I'll be like, okay, I'm doing this now. And in an hour, when I'm done with this bullshit, I'm going to go and have fun, you know, for an hour. And then Emily will be home and I'll continue to have fun, but with Emily. Right. And then you'll be having a bad day and you'll have convinced your mom to let you come home early. And you'll come home an hour early and you're miserable and you want to spend time with me. And I was like, just about to play video games. You know what I mean? And that may sound like a small sacrifice, but like that me time is very important to me. And letting go of that is a sacrifice for me and saying, no, we'll just watch the show we're watching and I'll, you know, hold you and, you know, wipe away your tears or whatever dramatic sappy bullshit we do in that moment, whatever you need at that time. Right. You know,
right.
You know, and then they can be as small as that. And it can be as big as, you know, one of us having to tell our boss like, hey, I got to go home because this has to happen. And you know, putting that on the line. And not right. That everybody has to do that all the time.
Like,
you know,
when you lost your job and I came home.
That's a great example. That's a great example. When I lost my job in October of 2020, and I called you right away and I was like, hey, I'm going home. I got fired tonight. You could tell that I was really upset. And you said, I'll be there in a minute. I was like, no, it's okay. Like, stay at work. And you were like, no, I'll be there. And you just told your boss, you were just like, I'm coming home. I got to go home. I got to be there. And you came home. You took care of me. So that was a much bigger sacrifice. And I think we've both hit all points on that spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like one of us has sacrificed more than the other?
No, I don't think so. I do think there's a difference in our sacrifices. I think, so you definitely sacrifice alone time because I need more together time than you do.
Yeah, that's true.
So you definitely sacrifice alone time. I find myself sacrificing my time with you for other things in my life, if that makes sense. Maybe I said that wrong.
Yes. I don't know if you did, nope. But just explain it more.
No, I said it right. I sacrifice my time with you for other things in my life. Like this past semester, having a synchronous class that I had to be in every other week, that sucked for me because I would have much rather been spending my evening with you. Like, I do schoolwork. Like, obviously, I keep completing semesters, so it's not like I'm spending all of my time with you, but I like to be in control of that. And to me, the way I feel about our relationship is, you know, this is where I am right now. Other things in my life haven't gone how I have planned, but our relationship has. So it makes more sense to me to focus, you know, some extra energy here where things are successful and good than in other areas of my life that are weighing me down. So sometimes I feel like I'm sacrificing our time together for other things in my life, even though I wouldn't give up those things ever. You know, mm-hmm. I love being in school. I love my career. I love, you know, pole. I love spending time with my friends. But just sometimes it just feels that way.
Do you sacrifice anything specifically for the sake of our relationship?
I'm facing, so you didn't want to talk about this on mic last time, but I'm staring down the barrel of potentially sacrificing a big goal of mine, which was to move out of state. And you can say all you want, it's not, we're not never going to do it. We're just not doing it now. But the fact of the matter is we're not getting any younger. And the longer we put off big goals, the less likely they are to happen. And I see opportunities slipping away, but I'm willing to do that because you have goals and I'm here to support you.
Fair enough. I mean, I think I would agree that, I mean, overall, my sacrifices are smaller, but there's a lot more of them.
Yes.
Like that situation I mentioned earlier happens two or three times a week.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And whereas I will generally come to you with like bigger things, you know, and which is, I mean, fair and valid on both sides, I think.
Yeah, yeah. No, I definitely agree. I would say the frequency with which I have to make big sacrifices balances out or is even a little bit less than what you do day to day, like all added up in total.
Wait, but it's also not a competition.
No, definitely like, not. Definitely not.
But I mean, but it's also important to recognize if it got so out of balance that like that competition needed to happen.
Yeah.
You know, it's just that that's not the case for us, you know? So, but speaking of all this sacrifice, that's kind of the whole point of the movie is like, you know, they made all these sacrifices to try to survive and try to get there. And this whole time, this company is trying to sacrifice all of them. And then in the end, Marty and
Dana
just refuse. They say, no, this sacrifice isn't worth it, you know, and that's also important in a relationship. But like, in that moment, we're all like, no, we're all going to die. Can't we just kill Marty? Like, isn't that okay?
Listen, if I'm going down, I'm taking everybody else with me.
Of course you are, though. That's.
What do you mean, of course I am?
Because you are.
That was supposed to make you laugh and nothing more.
Your choices, if you are always going to choose the more dramatic choice.
Listen.
What?
You need to sleep with one eye open. Thank you so much for listening to Eerily Ever After.
This episode was edited by Lyra Gomez. The theme was by Lyra Gomez, and the logo was by Lyra Gomez.
Help me.
Yay, Lyra. You can follow us on social media, on Twitter at EEA Podcast, and on Instagram at Eerily Ever After.
To find other podcasts similar to ours and entirely different from ours, but all made by our friends, you can check us out at sumtreeproductions.com. We also have one general TikTok at sumtreeproductions where you can watch videos of all the podcasts.
If you want to help spread our love, you can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and tell your friends how weird we are.
That is still today, in 2021, the best way to help a podcast. No matter how popular they are, the best way to spread them is through word of mouth. If you have a friend that likes horror movies, likes relationships, likes both, let them know.